actually one of the core components of forgiveness is to let it go. But that's a difference. A different thing from forgetting. We were unhelpfully taught, or some of us as adults unhelpfully hold on to something that we were taught as kids, which is to forgive and forget. God programmed us with memories, and the reason for that is that we can look after ourselves, not to forget that we could be going into an abusive situation, you know. So we need our memories. So forgiving and forgetting wouldn't be very helpful. And there's a wise proverb that says, forgive and remember. You know, so I think that's really, really important to remember that, that forgiveness, we can actually let go and remember at the same time, because we are children of God, members of the body of Christ, citizens of heaven, temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, we deserve, you know, to be treated as God's children and to be treated well. And therefore, we deserve to look after ourselves. Yeah.
Maybe remember and learn would be remember. Something.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's probably the way the proverb goes, remember and learn. Yeah, exactly. And I think we can continue to learn. I mean, a lot of people say that that's a sample of being alive, is that we are actually learning. The definition of madness is to do the same thing again and again and again and again and again and expect a different response. By not expecting a different response, we're learning. And if we're in an abusive situation and it goes on and on and on, or not necessarily abusive, which might be too strong a word, a situation that isn't helpful, that doesn't bring out the best in you, that doesn't make you feel good about yourself, that doesn't help you to reflect the glory of God, then, you know, it can be a situation that's not good for you and it's not a good idea to be in. Yeah.
So in that case, maybe move on. Well, forgive, but move on.
That's right. Forgive and move on. And the test of forgiveness, actually, is, it's a lovely one, is can you bless the other person? Can you say, you don't need to be reunited. You don't need to be living in the same house again or anything like that. It's can you actually say, you know, I have forgiven that person. I've let it go. In other words, I've taken my, you know, hands from around their neck. You know, I can genuinely say they are free and I can bless them. I can genuinely wish them well. And that's the test of whether you've really forgiven.
Yeah, it can be very hard to do something like that, though. I mean, if you feel like you've been grievously harmed in some way by somebody and, you know, you feel like there is a sense that they should face some kind of justice, or, you know, maybe they haven't even faced up to the wrong that they've done or the hurt that they've caused you.
Mm. Thanks for raising that, because it's super important, because forgiveness and justice are two different things. Like, they are two different words, and we can forgive and have justice, as is happening in Northern Ireland at the moment with the commissions that's similar to the Truth and Reconciliation commissions in South Africa. We can forgive and at the same time acknowledge exactly what's happened, have the absolute truth of the facts presented to both parties, so both parties can be aware of exactly how an offence was seen and was taken, and to repair, and there are numerous initiatives around the world, which is called restorative justice, to repair for the harms that we have done. And yet we can still in the same breath have forgiven the person and wish them well. You know, so they can live, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can live collaboratively together.
Yeah, because you do kind of want to say, well, you know, a wrong was done here and it needs to be acknowledged.
And that's actually one of the reasons why other people can be very unhelpful in our forgiveness process, because they can prevent us from allowing us the freedom to forgive. Because a lot of people, for example, would associate forgiveness with condoning what's happened. So say, for example, I the last time I led the retreat on forgiveness, believe it or not, there were three people there who had members of their families murdered. And they were, one of them, I won't go into details, but I mean, all at different levels. One was a son, one was a father, an elderly father who was, you know, murdered in his home by robbers. Another one was got to do with a situation in Northern Ireland recently. You know, all these situations, and they were all at very different levels of the forgiveness process. And it is like a very big elastic band that you can stretch out. Some couldn't even say the word forgiveness, never mind even contemplate it, which is totally understandable. And some were desperate for forgiveness because their entire lives were been dictated by the fact that they were holding this person in unforgiveness. And the reality of that situation is that it is essentially handcuffing yourself to the person that you can't forgive. You're dragging them around with you. And then on top of that, you're dragging around everybody else that you can't forgive. So you have this heavy, heavy load, heavy burden, and people start to experience an awful lot of physical problems, cancer, which can be related to anger, depression, which can be related to, you know, an awful lot of unforgiveness, an awful lot of hardness of heart. So in the retreat, we would use a retreat of a big, soft, red heart, and that's, you know, what we all want. But, you know, there's a reason why in the Bible, you know, there's the verse about take away our hearts of stone and gives us hearts of flesh. Because a lot of times our hearts are like that. You know, you can really knock on them. They're hard. They're solidified. And that's through years and years of hurt and years of unforgiveness. Whereas we actually need to reach towards healing. And in our church, within the Catholic Church, we're blessed with the sacrament of reconciliation, which is the healing sacrament, where we can say, listen, I choose to uncuff myself from this other person. The other person may or may not forgive, and that's not your problem. You know, that's between them and God. Forgiveness is very much between yourself and God. And there's a beautiful line, if I could just read it, from Mother Teresa. She's written a fabulous poem called Do It Anyway, and it's a long poem, but if I just take out the two relevant lines, she says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. So forgiveness is all about you and God, and we want to keep our lines and our channels open between ourselves and God all the time. And the last thing you want to do is allow this person who, you know, you don't want to be a major feature in your life, to block your relationship with God. It's the absolute last thing you want to have happen. But that is what's happening in the spiritual realm, because he says, you know, forgive and you will be forgiven. Don't forgive and you won't be forgiven. And that's the spiritual law that he has put in place. It's the only human aspect of the Our Father. If you think of the Our Father prayer, it's the only part where we have to do something, and that's forgive our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. It's the only thing that we're asked to do. And that's for the reason of keeping our line perfectly clear with our Lord.
Also, I suppose, from the point of view of people's own sanity and their own health, because as you say, if you don't forgive somebody, you are essentially shackled to them. You are tied to them all the time.
That's right. And to use another visual, I also bring to the retreats a picture or an actual ball and chain, and strap up your leg to the ball and chain. Now, it's a very nice ball and chain, not like the, you know, the shackles of old, but, you know, you can imagine a very, very, very wrought iron heavy ball that you're dragging along behind you, all the energy that would take. And we think that other people don't see, oh, that I just keep this a secret, you know, that nobody will ever really know or whatever. But everybody sees, you know, the way everybody else can see, but you think nobody else can see. It's the self-illusory bias in psychology. You know, we can see that we haven't forgiven, or that we're hanging on to that unforgiveness. And sometimes we're the last ones to see. And then, please God, we need the light of Christ to be shone into those darker areas of our lives, so that we can bring that situation to the Lord. Because as you said, it can be impossible to do this. And you're right, it is impossible. It is also counterintuitive. And that's why we have to ask God for the grace to forgive, because we definitely aren't built with that. We need to ask him for that. And just like he says, give us this day our daily bread. Like our phones, we need to plug in on a daily basis and ask for his help to forgive and re-forgive and re-forgive and re-forgive. It's never a once-off. It's always a repetitive activity. Some days it will be easier, some days it will be harder. And it's also an act of will, an act of volition. It is not emotional. Or if it is emotional, it'll be changed by tomorrow. So, you know, it really has to be an act of will. And to facilitate that, we really recommend that people actually note it down, perhaps in their prayer diary or any diary, but somewhere where they can refer back to it and say, no, on the 10th of January 2015, I chose to lay that down, to leave it there at the foot of the cross and walk away from it for the Lord to deal with, because I want my line with God to be clear. And he says, you know, forgive as I forgive you, and that's what I want to do now. And then on a bad day, when, you know, you hear your internal dialogue is ranting and raving with this person again, you can flick back to that page in your diary and remind yourself, no, I made this act of will before the Lord. I place that person under the foot of the cross, under the precious blood of the Lamb, They couldn't be in a better place. I wish them well. And you keep repeating that. And, you know, some books will tell you, you might need to repeat it 100 times a day, but only for the first day. And then the next day, it's a little bit less. And the next day, it's a little bit less, like, until it becomes like a habit. And they say, you know, what is it, 6 times or 6 weeks or something? And it becomes easier. And it's time well invested.